What's up, everybody? It's LG Doucette here, back for another episode of the First Mint Podcast. This is episode 3. Today is Sunday, January 17th. I know I said I would put these out midweek on Tuesdays, but there is a pack drop tomorrow for Cool Cats, so I felt compelled to put this out today. I also want to let you know that I've launched a YouTube tutorial series that Top Shot has shared with some of the new folks in the community. If you have some friends coming over to Top Shot, or you're listening to this and you're still not quite sure exactly how everything works, it's a very simple, easy to follow 3-part series. You can just look up the First Mint on YouTube to find that. Also launched a Twitter account where I'm posting daily stats such as which player floors for their moments are going up, which floor sets are going up, and just a lot of other fun stats like that. The agenda for this podcast is, first off, we're going to talk about the new record for sales, which every podcast we've done, we've talked about the new record for sales, but this one is pretty far out there. Series 2 has been selling out like crazy. Next, we're going to talk about Cool Cats and talk about how a challenge works. We're going to look at the Community Showcase contest and also how you can participate in that, and also in Fantasy Showcase with Swish. This week's weekly topic is going to be the Ultimate Collection Portfolio, where I'm going to talk about my picks for how to build an awesome Top Shot portfolio. I'm also going to review and revise the player tiers that I shared last week. And finally, I'm going to go over my picks for this coming week, as well as a few moments I picked up over the weekend during the Totally Crazy Frenzy. Before we kick off, I just want to say that none of the content here constitutes trading advice in any way, and that this show is not affiliated with NBA Top Shot, the NBA, or Dapper Labs. I'm just a guy at his house who loves basketball and who loves blockchain. If you're a new follower, great to have you. If you've been listening since the first episode 2 weeks ago, thank you for all the support and feedback and for all the DMs. Let's get into it. This is the third episode of The First Mint. Right, so last week when I recorded this podcast, episode 2, on Tuesday, I wasn't really sure what was coming up. You know, I'd heard in the community that Wednesday was going to be a maintenance day for Top Shot, so, you know, I figured a good time to put out the podcast, people to listen to it. And I really didn't think that we were just a couple days away from blowing through an entirely new record. Friday, which I guess was January 15th. Top Shot broke its own record of $400K in a day by doing $675,000 of sales in the marketplace alone, which was then broken yesterday, Saturday, January 16th, with over $1 million of sales on the marketplace in a 24-hour period. Are you kidding me? That is absolutely crazy. I think we actually would have broken that today on Sunday, January 17th, but the site for Top Shot just could not handle the volume on the marketplace, so it had to be kind of shut down for a bit for maintenance and is now back up and running and going to be ready for Cool Cats tomorrow. If you're new to Top Shot or been here for a while, you're probably just trying to figure out what happened, trying to recuperate from the last couple of days. If you've been buying and selling and trading on the marketplace, good for you. If you've been standing back and watching and just letting your moments that you have in your account grow in value, also good for you. Sounds like the less stressful avenue. So I just want to recap really quickly, you know, how all of this happened. So Wednesday morning, unexpectedly, Series 1 was retired. So anything that was in Series 1, marked to Series 1, was ended. There was a lot of moments that were previously marked CC for circulating count, and then were changed to LE. Simultaneously, base packs for Series 2 were made available on Top Shot. 25,000 of them were made available. So immediately Wednesday morning, there was just a flip over where Series 1 was retired, Series 2 was kicked off. Could buy 25,000 of them. So that did two things when that happened. One, there was a total frenzy by, you know, all community members probably to buy up a lot of those limited Series 1, because again, everything that was CC became LE. So there was a mass shift for everybody to go buy those awesome like LeBron moments, Luka moments, all that stuff that were only 1,000 limited edition. There's a huge rush to go buy those. Anything else that was low mint, even if it was high mint, all those were retired. So there was a huge rush. The second thing that happened is the market was then flooded with Series 2 base moments, both the limited edition rookie ones as well as the circulating count base moments. I was sleeping when it happened because I actually stayed up late the night before finishing episode 2 of the podcast. And then I woke up to about a dozen texts and messages and stuff like that, asking me questions about Series 2. I thought it was going to be a down day where I could just chill. And that was probably my busiest day yet. The next day after that, Thursday, Peter Jennings, Jason Bales from Fantasy Labs both made huge news with their big acquisitions. Bales, who bought the number one Ja Cosmic for $35K. Bales putting out an awesome article about why he did. And then also, my personal Twitter account was retweeted by Darren Ravel, awesome broadcast reporter, where he mentioned in his tweet that Top Shot was going on. He didn't really tell all his followers, which he has 2 million of, to go to Top Shot. But he did say that he thinks that, you know, Top Shot is onto something, and that Top Shot collectibles are just as good as pretty much any other collectibles. So all three of those factors driving a lot of new people to Top Shot. What that resulted in is the first release of the series base 2 packs, 25,000 of them sold out in 5 hours. The second release, which is another 25,000, sold out by the end of the next day. The third release, another 25,000, was sold by the end of day Friday. So 75,000 packs, $9 each with 3 base moments in them, sold in less than 3 days directly from Top Shot. All of those moments hitting the marketplace from the buyers and the sellers. And then the fourth release, which has 50,000 packs. Last I checked, it was at about 18 or 19,000 remaining, maybe selling out tomorrow before we get to Cool Cats, maybe not. So we're looking at 100K plus pack sales. So that is over 300,000 moments coming to the marketplace since last Wednesday morning, as well as all the Series 1 stuff getting gobbled up. For anybody who's actually new to Top Shot, you have to understand why this is kind of crazy for me, and I'm sure for a lot of the older community members. You got to understand, like, even when I joined, which was, I don't know, early September, the first pack I bought was a Throwdowns pack, and it was $29, and I got a Serge Ibaka, and I was stoked. But even when I first bought it, as I'm sure a lot of you are, your first-time buyers, so you're like, $29, that might seem like a lot. And back then, it seemed like even more, because those Throwdown packs, they were sitting there available for weeks. And same thing with the Strip, Early Adopters, New York versus Cali, and the base Series 1. You could buy those like anytime. They sat there for weeks. And even when the great people at Top Shot were saying, hey, we're getting rid of these packs, last chance to buy them, they still didn't sell out. So this current ecosystem where we're selling out 100,000 packs in less than like 5 days is so insane. It really shows how much Top Shot's grown, how much it's grown in the last couple of weeks. And honestly, how much is going to continue to grow? Because even if you're looking at the numbers of how many people we have, Discord, I think we're just about to hit 10,000 people, which you think for an NBA / collectibles community, that's actually not that many. And even in terms of unique market buyers, we're looking at about, I think, 1,500 or 2,000, as well as like, you know, 8 or 9,000 unique owners of moments. Those are good numbers. They're very good compared to a couple months ago, obviously, but they are nowhere near where this could actually go. All that to say, that where we are now on Sunday night is that a lot of those base circulating moments have been extended. They've had a lot of mints added, so they're all going to be 7,500 plus, and that's so the Top Shot can keep up with the demand. But the rookie limited edition moments are not being extended past 4,000, so obviously those prices have gone up quite a lot. LaMelo has gone back up to $200 or so a moment. Halliburton and Wiseman, same thing. They're both in the 80 to 90 range. And again, you have to remember that a lot more of those moments are coming out soon. So for those rookie moments, there's only about 2,800 right now, or about 2,400 that are available in circulation, either in packs or in the marketplace or with owners. So that's out of the total 4,000. So more of those rookie moments come in packs. If you haven't got one, you really want to get one, and you don't want to drop $200 on a LaMelo, you might be able to get one in a pack. So that is the story of the last couple days. Bringing it down to how some of the sets and the players have performed. Obviously, all floors across the board have risen dramatically. In the last couple of days, the MVP move set with Giannis has gone up like, I think, like 1,500%, something totally crazy. With the Strip and Throwdowns, those 2 packs I was talking about that, you know, couldn't even sell that well, also have each gone up like 1,000%. Metallic gold, I would say, is now the new holo. You're looking at like LeBron, Luka, Zion, Morant, all of their MGLEs are all going for like $1,800 or more. And even in terms of common base moments from Series 1, there's actually 2 or 3 LeBron moments that are over $1,000. I think 2 of the LeBron dunks are over $1,500 now for 1,000 limited edition. So that kind of gives you an idea of kind of the future potential of even a 1,000 limited edition print. All rare moments went totally crazy. And you know what's funny is actually I've been holding this Luka Doncic first round moment for so long. Like, it was one of the first moments I got in a pack. And way back in like the end of September, I almost sold it for like $60 to Napoleon, who's one of the community members. We were trying to make a deal, and I was going to set it to him for like $60 in ETH or something like that, which back then ETH wasn't very much either. And, you know, when I checked on Thursday morning, that moment was up to $850. And I was thinking, man, you know, what a great profit. But today, it's at like 3 or 4, which is really like for a rare moment, you know, there's 250 of them total. That is, I don't know if I expected that soon. And I don't think a lot of of those moment holders expected that soon. But I think that we're setting a standard for what those Series 1 moments are going to look like, as well as for anything with a rare mint that's, you know, under 500 or maybe even under 1,000. Rookie debuts also popped off. Zion, Morant, if you have those, good for you. Those have really blown up. And I would say the biggest winner of the weekend in terms of players is actually Giannis. Like I said, MVP moves blasted off, as well as his more rare moments. And if you guys want to keep up with some of these statistics, again, I've been posting a lot of them on the First Mint Twitter account. Usually every 2 or 3 days, I update what the floors are for different players and for different sets and what percentage they've moved at. So where do we go from here? You know, the big question now is, will this marketplace volume hold? Is this going to be the new normal? Are all these new buyers, all these awesome new people that have just come into Top Shot, are they going to hang around for Cool Cats and for all the other sets that are coming after that? I don't know. I hope so. I'd love for this to be the new normal, not just because, you know, I have the Luka moment, but also because I think Top Shot was designed for this level of volume. So I hope it keeps up. And one thing that I really want to stress for everybody, especially the new people in Top Shot, is that there are a lot more moments coming. There are a lot more sets coming. It's not just the base Series 2. It's not just Season Tip Off or Deck the Halls or all the other stuff you can look at. There's so many more releases coming. The Top Shot team is working really hard to get to 2 pack releases per week. That's the ideal. So that might be happening sometime in the next couple weeks. We're going to kick this week off with Cool Cat. So already we're going to have an awesome new common set to look at. There's going to be more legendaries. There's going to be more rares, more playoff sets, more everything coming up. So be patient. Don't blow all your money trying to buy all the Series 1 stuff. I mean, if you see some stuff in there you like, go for it. But know that there is more coming. If you're an OG of this community, you know what? Sell some stuff and load up for the new moments as well. Just because the last couple days have seen a totally new level of volume and total craziness. Don't freak out. There are more goodies coming in Top Shot. So next up, we're going to talk about really what's happening in the community this week as well as on Top Shot. So we're going to kick off by talking about Cool Cats. So Cool Cats is the set that's dropping tomorrow, 5 p.m. Pacific. This is the 4th set of Series 2, the first one obviously being the base set, which you can buy packs of right now from Top Shot. The other one being Season Tip Off, which was a rare set with only 350 mints of each moment. And the other one being Deck the Hoops, which was a legendary set with 85 of each moment featured in those. Cool Cats, the set will have 5,000 mints of each moment of John Collins, Tobias Harris, Devin Booker, Derek Jones Jr., and Rui Hachimura. There's going to be 5,000 of each of those, meaning there's probably going to be about 25,000 packs sold. Typically, most packs come with one of the sets, so there's going to be one Cool Cat in your pack, and then also 4 base moments from the rest. Those base moments, what's going to be in them are the moments that are available in the base pack. So there's going to be more LaMelos, more of this year's rookies, and more of this year's LeBrons and Jaws and Trae Youngs and all the other stuff you find in the regular base set, you will also get as the 4 other moments accompanying your Cool Cat when you buy one of the packs. I'm going to talk really quickly about how challenges work, because for a lot of you, this might be your first actual challenge that you're going through that you're buying packs for. So basically, there's going to be a Cool Cats challenge. And what you have to do is you have to collect all 5 of those moments, either by, you know, finding them in packs or trading for them with other users on Discord or just buying and selling them off the marketplace. When you collect all 5, you qualify for the challenge reward. What you have to do is you have to hold all 5 moments in your account until the timer for the challenge expires, which is going to be posted on the Top Shot website. When that timer expires, you get the reward, which is a Luka Doncic moment. It's an assist, I think, is what the moment is. Yeah, it looks like it is. That reward usually comes like within an hour, within a couple hours, it gets airdropped into your account. And the most important part of that reward, the Luka moment, is going to be the mint number. So basically how that works is the amount of those Luka moments that are made is equal to the amount of people or of accounts that finished the challenge. So let's say there's 800 accounts that complete the Luka Doncic Cool Cats challenge, then only 800 of those moments are going to be minted. When they're minted, they are randomized and dropped into accounts. So if you finish a challenge, you might get the number 1 Luka, you might get the number 800, you might get the number 2000 if that's how many people finish the account. Again, sometimes it takes a few hours. If this is going to be your first challenge, I wish you good luck. Other things going around the community, there's the new showcase contest, so check that out. Basically, if you haven't made a showcase before, it's super fun. You just go grab some of your moments, you build a little showcase, you can watch a showcase, Top Shot play some music for you. What you have to do is go to Discord, post it in the channel there, post it on your Twitter, use the Top Shot showcase hashtag, and then try and accumulate 10 likes. You can ask the other community members to trade a like for a like. Your showcase needs 10 likes and you will get some Dapper credits at the end of the challenge. If your showcase is really good, you might even be eligible to win a prize, which is organized through Top Shot. So if you haven't done the showcase contest yet, I encourage you to do it. Also, for anybody who likes fantasy sports, Theo, who's one of our community members, he has built an app called Swish with his team, where it is basically using our NBA Top Shot moments in a fantasy game. If you haven't checked that out yet, I highly recommend you check it out. We're only just finishing the first week, so there's still the entire season to go. You can look for Swish on Twitter or look in the fantasy channel on Discord. Swish is spelled S-W-Y-Y-S-H. To our weekly topic, which this one is what I call the ultimate collection portfolio. So this is an idea I've floated around to a few people in the community, including Upside and MBL 267, who may secretly be LeBron. Anyways, I've floated this around to them, which is the idea of what would the ultimate Top Shot collection portfolio look like, as in, you know, if you are thinking about holding moments in Top Shot long term or even short term or whatever. How many should you have of legendaries, of rares, of LeBrons, of Anthony Davis's? What should that look like? Kind of like looking at this as though it's almost like a stock portfolio or even just an awesome collection. If you have any other collectibles, there's definitely a way that you build your collection. So that's what I want to talk about today. I don't have the exact answer, and obviously I recommend that everybody go out there and figure out their own portfolio. But I think before I actually recommend a portfolio, I just want to agree to three things. One is that value is subjective. As we can see in the last couple of days, value changes. So I don't necessarily look at my collection as the overall sum of its current marketplace value. I look at it more as what kind of players, what kind of plays, moments, and also what the rarity is. So again, the value is subjective. The second thing I want to agree to is that as much as you want to try and predict the future, you absolutely must respect the past. This is a rule of basketball. So I look at long-term value as being more in the players who have a very established legacy. So I'm talking like LeBron, Steph, and KD. Those guys, we know who they are. They're still adding to their Hall of Fame careers, but they are very established as some of the biggest stars of all time. Whereas some of the newer guys, even guys like Zion, Ja, Luka Doncic, talked about this last week. None of those guys has even won a playoff game. Two of them haven't even made it to the playoffs. So again, for your portfolio, try to predict the future. Absolutely. But you must respect the past. And the third thing I want to agree to is that Top Shot will change. There's a game called Hard Court coming out. We don't have any details, but it's a game where you use your moments. And there's going to be more legendary and rare sets. And there's also going to be ultimate and Genesis moments that will eventually be auctioned off or released to the community. Those are much rarer moments than legendaries. Top Shot is going to change over time. So these are the three things I want to agree to before talking about portfolio. So with that said, here is roughly how I've been looking at my collection portfolio in Top Shot. So 50% of my collection is stuff that I never want to let go of, whether they're legendaries, rares, commons, whatever. They are moments that I absolutely love and that I would only ever sell if it was at some super fancy auction for millions of dollars. Or honestly, if I just really needed the money for whatever reason, they're moments that I'm tied to emotionally and also that I think are just going to be some of the most valuable moments ever in Top Shot. I'll give you an example. I actually followed my own advice this week. I picked up two moments that I feel very strongly about. One is the LeBron James Kobe Bryant tribute dunk. There's only 1,000 of them. It's a base. I paid quite a lot of money for it, but it's something that I really want to hang on to. I think it's something that's going to have value long term, both for the community and as well for me. And the other moment that I picked up was the Vince Carter base. It's his last shot ever. That doesn't exist in Top Shot. There's no other like retirement shot that is there. There might never be another one. It's also the last shot ever of normal life. During this game, the Vince Carter took the shot. Everybody knew that the NBA season had been suspended as the pandemic was kind of raging through. And they brought Vince into the game with 8 seconds left. Trae Young handed the ball. He took a deep three-pointer. Nailed it. That is a moment, especially growing up as a Raptors fan, I'd want to hang on to that moment. It would take a lot for me to sell it. So again, 50% of my collection is made up of moments that I really, really love. if there's anything like that that you have or that you have your eye on, I highly recommend you grab it. And I would also say that anything that's a holo or a cosmic is also absolutely worth hanging on to. It's going to be something that's kind of intangible long term in terms of the Top Shot ecosystem. The next 40% of my portfolio is stuff that I think will have some value soon, but that I'm not super attached to. There are moments that I really like, that I almost love, but that if ever the price was right, or I wanted to trade one of those for something different, or I wanted to sell it and use the profits to buy more packs or whatever, I'm down to do it. I'll come back to my Luka first round moment. Yes, it's an amazing moment, amazing buzzer beater three-pointer, and it's his first playoff moment. I get it. So it could be a very important moment for Luka's career. I like it. It's something that once, again, once that value grows, I would totally consider trading again for something else. That and other moments similar make up a large part of my portfolio at 40%. I'll give you another example of a moment that I've actually been recently selling off. Earlier in the season, I started to build up some James Harden-based moments. James Harden, great player, but I knew that, you know, it was going to be kind of a weird season with him with the situation in Houston and not sure if he was going to get traded or not. So he was very low-key. I like James Harden. I like some of those plays, but not something that I love. So I accumulated it with the intention, with the hope that it would kind of go up in value. It obviously has, like everything else on the marketplace, so I can't really say that I'm a genius yet, but it's gone up in value, so I've been selling a few of them. Even if it's not going up in value, I still see James Harden as like a good holding. So that second 40% of the portfolio are moments that are good holdings that hold a lot of value, but that I'm okay getting rid of someday if need be. The final 10% of the portfolio is the fun stuff. This is like either a float of balance in my Dapper account or just some moments that I want to just kind of try and trade or whatever. This is kind of the liquid part of the portfolio. Right now, it's honestly, it's just money that I'm going to use to buy some cool cat packs. So again, to recap, what I see is like an awesome portfolio, and you don't have to follow this. I really encourage everybody to make up their own thing, and Top Shot is very early. So again, there's no formula. There's no perfect formula here, but how I see it is 50% moments that I would never, ever let go of, 40% moments that I see a lot of value in, but that I would let go of if I wanted to, if I needed to, and then 10% that's fun, that's to go and scoop up new opportunities. It's taken me quite a few months to kind of develop this mentality, and I'm sure it's going to change as time goes on and as Top Shot discovers. If you have a certain methodology or you have any questions on that, please do hit me up in Discord or on Twitter or wherever else. I'd love to hear how you split it up. Obviously, a big part of that portfolio ties into the player tier. So if you listen to episode 2 last week, I talked about player tiers in terms of how I evaluate players, putting LeBron in the number 1 tier by himself and then putting Steph, KD, Ja Morant, Zion, and Luka in tier 2. I actually want to update what I had as tier 3 there. The tier 1 and 2, they remain the same, but tier 3 I've actually modified. I've actually cut it down. So tier 3 after those 6 players is now Giannis, Anthony Davis, and James Harden. Again, this evaluation is based largely on what I see on the marketplace, what I judge as the emotion of the marketplace. I don't base it on, you know, merit, Hall of Fame career, performance, none of that. It's largely on how the marketplace reacts to these players and to these moments. So the new tier 3, I consider Giannis, AD, and Harden. And then tier 4, which I don't think I talked about last week, is Damian Lillard, Jokic, Tatum, Kawhi, Kyrie, Devin Booker, and Trae Young. That is tier 4, has quite a lot of players in it, but those guys, all of them at any moment could graduate to tier 3 and kind of have an up and down movement. Maybe as the season goes on, I'll put these up on a website or kind of keep them updated every week. But for now, those guys are all in tier 4, the new tier 3, Giannis, AD, and Harden. And again, love to hear your thoughts on that. So hit me up if you have a great opinion. Picks of the week. So this is the part of the show where I talk about which players I'm picking up. Last week, I was talking about any players on the Pacers, any players on the Spurs, Sabonis, DeRozan, both those teams with a lot of potential this year to make quite a bit of noise in the playoffs, maybe even steal a round or two. So I'm still hot on those guys. The Spurs, since I did my last podcast, they split a series with the Rockets, and the Pacers have actually not lost since the last podcast. They beat the Blazers by 24 points. They're currently playing the Clippers. Not sure what the score is. Last week, I also picked Bradley Beal, Nikola Jokic, and Draymond Green. And Jokic having a phenomenal season. He's now at the top of the NBA MVP ladder. He's been very hot in Top Shot this week. I think the market's finally waking up to how much of an awesome, awesome, awesome player he is, and that he might actually find a way to win MVP this year. The Wizards have actually not played since the last podcast because of a lot of COVID issues, and they play sometime this week. Draymond, he's back. I still think that he is a player that has a lot of fans, even though, you know, we haven't seen too many great games from him lately in the last like year or two. But again, being on the Warriors with Steph Curry, you never want to underestimate that team, even without Klay Thompson. So Draymond's still somebody to keep an eye on. But my picks for this week, which are the players you actually want to hear, I got a few of them for you. First one is Nikola Vucevic. That's how you say it, Vucevic. He has been awesome for the Magic. They're 6-7. They kind of had a hot start, but they kind of slowed down. But he is fourth in performance efficiency for this year. He's having the best statistical year of his career, averaging almost 23 points, 11 rebounds, and almost 4 assists. On the market, even after this crazy frenzy, his prices are still super low. His Series 1 bases go for $3 and $14. His rares, the Metallic, is $50, and the first round is only $64. And his holo, if you can believe it, is one of the few holos that's still under $1,000, coming in at $750 as of the time of this recording. Next player is Kyrie Irving. I just talked about him. I will tell you right now that I own quite a bit of Kyrie Irving. I picked up a lot of his base moments a few weeks back. Similar to Harden, you know, he's a guy that right now is kind of in a weird spot, not getting the most positive attention, but there will be a point where he will return to basketball. If he doesn't, well, I don't know. But when he does come back to basketball, the Nets are going to be ready for him. I know a lot of people are razzing the Nets, saying, you know, how are they going to share the ball? How's that going to work? I actually think it's going to work super well together because all those guys are a little bit older than they used to be, and I think they're going to be quite determined to reach their goal. The other thing you have to realize is that when Kyrie comes back to play basketball after everything he's been doing the last couple weeks, he's going to be ready. He's a very purposeful guy, so when he comes back to basketball, he is going to be there to play. On the charts, he's still 7th in PER. He was averaging 27.6 assists before he took off for his little sabbatical. On the market, his Series 1 base is only $27 and $99 for the 1,000 limited edition. His rares, look at this, his season tip-off is 156 with the strip 275 and metallic gold 500. That seems like a bit of a steal, metallic gold 500, considering how hot those are for some of the other players. And in terms of his legendaries, he has two. His Deck the Hoops, which was the legendary from this year, 700, and his holo is 3,400 as of this morning, went up a bit overnight. Next player I want to talk about is Giannis. I already did talk about him a lot. The Bucks have won 4 in a row, 7 of their last 8. They are on fire. They beat Luka on Friday night, and they got the Nets tomorrow night. It's going to be a huge game, Harden versus Giannis. His numbers haven't been that crazy. He's 11th in PER, but if they go deep this year, this is the year where they finally get it done. I'd say that anything from Series 1, but anything especially from Series 2, which is this current series from the year where he maybe gets it all done, could go up a lot in value in the future. So maybe something good for that first half of your portfolio. The market, there's too many prices to name. He has a lot. He's definitely the player with the most moments. But his run it back, which will, you know, get the rookie tag eventually, is now over $4,000. And in terms of the other big ticket ones, his from the top moments are $4,400 and $3,300 respectively. His holo is almost at $9,000 and his cosmic is at $14,000. So those Giannis rare cards, not for everybody, but he has a lot of great base moment and those MVP moves are still definitely within reach. Last, we're going to look at the injury report. So Ja Morant finally came back last night. He only had 17 points in a win, but he had one incredible alley-oop. Just amazing. Kemba Walker also back in the swing of things. But in his first game back, the Celtics actually lost to the Knicks by 30 points. They didn't have Jason Tatum, but Kemba Walker, another guy to watch. I'd say the biggest injury to watch right now in terms of Top Shot moments is Jimmy Butler. He was so hot. I mean, just in the NBA, bringing his team all the way to the finals with Tyler Hero. And then also, he was very hot on Top Shot at that time. I really feel like his moments are super undervalued. He's got some really good rares out there. Like his Eastern Conference Finals moment is only $40. Which again, those Eastern Conference, Western Conference finals, they're marked as having 1,000 prints, but in the end, they might have less because not all those packs were sold. That number might be adjusted one day. His conference semifinal is only $90. His metallic gold is $168. I don't understand that. His finals rare, which was the reward, is $250, and his finals legendary one is only $980, under $1,000. I don't get it. And his cosmic and holo both hovering around $4,200. In terms of which moments I picked up this week, I grabbed mainly the limited edition rookies. I'll be honest with you. I totally FOMO'd. I grabbed like two, three of each of them, as many as I could. I actually didn't grab any LaMelos. I'm not sure if that price will sustain. If it keeps going up, then I'll just have that FOMO forever. But I grabbed a few rookies this year in terms of my personal pickups. Some games around the NBA to look for this week. You got the Bucks versus the Nets and Warriors and Lakers tomorrow on Monday. Wizards versus Hornets. Again, it's the Wizards' first game in over a week. And then Thursday, you got Lakers and Bucks, which hopefully is a finals preview. So that's it for me this week. Thanks to everybody who's been sending me feedback and thoughts and Discord on Twitter. I really appreciate it. It really actually means a lot and helps me keep doing the podcast. Thank you for listening. Again, I'll try and do these midweek every week and might be looking at a few special editions over the next couple weeks. Shout out to Steve Veerman, who is the one who built the intangible.market tool. If you haven't used it yet, I highly recommend you use it. It's a great way to search and sort all the different moments in NBA Top Shot. Again, hit me up on Discord or on Twitter. You can find me at LG Doucette or at The First Mint on Twitter. Send me your hot takes. I want to hear them. Otherwise, I'll talk to you next week.